Yeah, he's a bass in the sign here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim on this Monday, 20th of May, 7.5 minutes past 6 o'clock. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Here we go. Monday morning has rolled round again.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Is your screen a bit higher than normal there, is it?
I don't know.
Looks like I'm staring over the fence.
You don't know. Maybe it is.
Next door.
It suits me anyway, I have to say. They've blocked you out a little bit.
They've blocked me out a little bit. They've raised the
fence. I think they have actually.
Raised the bar.
You say it, yeah. I'll try and lower it down a little bit now in a second.
Anyway, morning to you folks. Good to have you along. Thanks a million. Let me see. JP's been on. English Ian's been on. Dan 2.0's been on.
Jeepers, good morning everybody there.
Buddy Brennan's been on.
Buddy Brennan, how's he going, horse? Did you get a picture from him again this morning?
Absolutely. There's a picture there for you to enjoy. Also, morning lads. Another beautiful day in Limerick. Even though Cork won yesterday from Leonard. Has come in. And also, Dee's been on, and this one appears to be especially for you, to tell you that she had the most delicious sausages in England, in County Durham, apparently.
Right. What? That's a very random text.
It's a little unusual.
It's a little random. I'm into that.
Since it came in at half an hour before we even came on air.
That's very random, and I like it. I love the randomness of that. Come here, PJ, in specific.
Yeah.
The sausage I had. Wonderful. 5:30 in the morning.
County Durham.
There you go, yeah.
That's where you need to go.
I don't know a lot about English sausage, I'll be honest with you.
It's kind of, they do a lot of herby thing, don't they, with their sausages over there?
They do
they
fiddle around
play with them
stuff.
A bit.
Yeah, you'd get a pheasant sausage and all over
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
You would, yeah. You wouldn't know. To yeah. be mad stuff.
Now, mind you, I mean, we can't talk. Obviously, we've had many a man in here who's brought with him many a sausage that's been infiltrated with all sorts of goodness.
That's true, but they
Guinness and but curry and everything.
That's why they're on the radio, though, because what's rare is
it's wonderful.
It's wonderful. So you stick it on the radio.
Yeah.
But you know, you could be walking through England and you'd see a fella. Have you any sausages? He goes, "Yes, we have the wild boar and pheasant sausage." And it wouldn't be. No, they'd even turn
their head. Unusual, yeah.
Wild boar and pheasant, and we've got
because they do that. In fairness to them, they do that
quail
with crisps
and,
as well, don't they?
They do. Yeah.
Crisps in England were always. They were always like a rainbow of unbelievable flavours.
Yeah, quail and sage flavoured. And you'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah. It was a far cry from your humble cheese and onion.
Yeah,
they had all
sorts
of, you know, and Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah, all the and then everything. And then you have to salt them yourself or something. Remember the English were doing that?
Like the little pack.
You had to open the salt and put it on your own crisps.
DIY
that?
Crisps.
That's bad manners. Making us do that ourselves.
Yeah. Dear, oh dear. Anyway, English Ian says, actually, I'm not even going to go there, English Ian. You're a foul, dirty man.
What? I've got to love the English sausage, he said. I tell you something.
I presume he's talking about
one of those sage ones.
Obviously.
A quail and sage is what he's talking about there.
Also, Paddy, or maybe it's Antoinette, I'm not sure. I think it's Antoinette, maybe, has been on to say, PJ, how did the Bose gig go?
Great, very good, yeah. That's why I'm sort of a bit tired now, because it was a late night for me last night.
Was it on last night?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So late night, so I'm a bit knackered. And I left, I came out this morning, this is how good the Bose gig was. I came out this morning without me gym bag, so I've forgotten that I can't go to the gym today. And then I poured coffee straight onto the top of my last two scoops of porridge. So there you go.
It's going to be a good day.
Yeah, so come on the Bose. Come on, the balls. Yeah, that's one of them. Yeah,
right,
so I'm going to be a bit all over the place.
Slightly tired bunny in studio this morning. Yeah,
and there was no fizzies, not even a sausage.
Shaka Khan, Ain't Nobody here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim, Monday 20th of May. Margaret's been on, wishing us a wonderful week, PJ. And the weather is looking promising. Yeah, well, I mean, is it? I kind of saw a bit of a mixed bag when I was looking through the week.
It's looking
I know
warm.
The old temperatures are up, though, so
that's
you'll be happy.
That's all I care about, yeah. It's looking nice and warm, so nobody be cold. That's all that matters to me.
You're happy as long as you can get into your shorts, even if they're wet shorts.
Yeah, I did that during the week, actually.
You got into wet shorts.
Well, no, I got into shorts that ended up wet. But yeah. So I suppose I did get into wet shorts in a very philosophical way of looking at it, yeah.
Brilliant. Right, 087-188-0008. If you want to give us a shout for any reason, we're about to take on the birthdays. You've already kind of got your excuses in early saying you're a bit tired last night.
Yeah, I have, yeah. So I'd like to say I'm going to be on me game would be ridiculous this morning, to be honest.
This could be amazing. This could be, you know, sometimes when your back's against the wall, your front's facing away from it.
Yeah, you're running away from the wall.
Right.
I see the point you're making.
Yeah. Here we go. Four. For you to choose from, okay? Well, you don't really get to choose. You're going to have to do them all. Anyway, first one up is Cher.
Cher!
Which I do accept is a difficult one because she has many different ages depending on which part of her body you're talking
about. Yeah, which Cher age, yeah. She's living in another dimension, that woman, isn't she? Yeah, God. Cher. What because age could she possibly be?
There's quite a lot of plastic in there.
And she's been around, like, for so long and looked the same. Like, so, and it's a different Cher now. Like the...
She's actually, you know that I one? Just realised Cher is the human form of Trigger's brush.
Yeah.
She's had many different handles and many different heads. You know what I mean?
She's actually
she is human, the human form of Trigger's brush.
Yeah, same Cher, but it's not Cher.
It's not Cher.
Because she's been changed
so many
times.
All the parts have been
changed. Yeah, oh my God. Like, and there's been so many different Chers, that's what I'm saying.
What, you mean like lassies? They like, change them every so often?
Yeah. Oh, there definitely has. It's not the same one that sang, I got you, babe. With Sonny.
Well, that was a different Cher. They're trying to make you believe it is.
Yeah, I know they are, but we all know, anyone with half a brain knows that that was the first Cher.
Right.
And then the second Cher came along. She was the one that made all the movies.
That's right.
And
okay,
then the
yeah.
third Cher is the one.
Who no, became
that's
like
not
a
the
dance
one we have
diva.
Now. Yeah, she's, and yeah, and then the fourth Cher was the one, did all the auto tune, sound like a robot. And
right.
they thought we wouldn't notice that this new Cher that sounds like a robot, didn't even sound like a human. Remember? And they were like, right, that's not going
to
work.
I just realised that's a fantastic way to sing.
Yeah.
You can make yourself even sing. You can auto-tune yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Any song.
Fantastic.
Give me any song. Even right. the classics.
Okay, here.
Nasher Garber.
Actually, you know something? Now you're just starting to sound like Bane from Batman.
Oh.
I will hurt you.
I was born in the dark.
You are the inheritor. You just live there.
Oh my God. Now you just sound like some little alien out of Star Wars. That's all I sound like.
Right, anyway. Cher, who was born Sherilyn Sarkisian.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I knew
wonder
that.
Why she changed her name.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, Cher, how old is she?
She's in her 70s anyway.
Yeah.
73.
Yes!
Oh. Now look at that.
See?
Now.
I'm telling you.
The
worse you are, the better you are.
That, unfortunately, I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Yeah, right. Next up, Louis Theroux.
Oh, Louis Theroux.
Yeah. He is very good, in fairness.
Ah, he's fantastic.
I know he's weird and sort of strange.
But that's what's brilliant about him. Yeah. He goes in and he weirds out all these people until they can't stand the silence with him. And then they say way too much.
That's
his whole way of doing things. He walks in and goes, hello, I'm Louis. And then you're
waiting for a question, but he doesn't ask.
And he doesn't ask one. And then you turn around and he goes, come here, listen, what you know what you need, right? You stop doing looking at this. I tell you what I am. I'm a maniac. And they can't handle the silence.
Yeah.
And they fill it by exposing themselves. It's an amazing thing he does.
And he puts himself in weird places.
Weird places. I know it doesn't. All his new ones just went up on Netflix this week, actually.
He's all over Netflix. Yeah,
yeah, I'll be getting stuck
Netflix
into
Netflix love him.
Oh yeah, he's very good though. It's not bad. I was going to do your thing. I met him, I said, in LA. I didn't meet him. I was in the Saddle Ranch place having a bowl of chips. And
he was there as
well. And he was across the
room. Wait a second. By my reckoning, that makes you close personal friends.
Did I tell you I'm close personal friends with Louis Theroux?
Well, I mean, it's worked for me with Daniel Day-Lewis. I tell everybody we're close personal
and
friends.
In fairness,
just because we were in the same room once.
Yeah, well, there you go. And in fairness, he did the same to me that he does with everyone. He didn't talk to me at all and then left me do all the weird looks and everything. So there you go. So I did meet him. So Louis Theroux, I'm going to say he's like 42.
49.
Oh, right.
49.
I didn't think he was that. All right.
Right, we're going to go back. This might be a bit of a weird one for you, right? Were you into Haircut 100 at all?
Oh, for feck's sake. They wouldn't have been my flavour, though.
No.
This is Spin Me Right Round, right? That's them, isn't it? No.
No, that was Dead or Alive.
Oh, right. Well, then I don't know who they are.
Remember Love Plus One? And, anyway, it was
what
Nick.
What was the song?
It's Nick Hayward's birthday.
Do you know
Nick Hayward? He had a sort of a blonde
Google image coming up. I bet you I do.
Baby blonde kind of look about him. What else did they sing? Love Plus One and Fantastic Day. And it's a
fantastic.
You know that one.
Fantastic Day.
Yeah, I should have sang that in auto tune.
Oh my God! Look at him now. He's so square looking.
I hope you're... Are you Googling?
Google imaged him, yeah.
Right.
Oh, my God, he's so square looking. Jeepers.
Square looking?
Yeah.
Do you mean square as in the way people used square back in the 60s?
Yeah, square, like he's such a... like
nerdy.
Square? Yeah.
You just call somebody square. Hey, man, you're such a square.
It's not used anymore. Is that gone?
No, I'm sure it's not gone.
Oh, my God. He's the biggest square I've ever seen.
Square.
Look at him.
It's amazing.
Oh, my.
We've morphed back into the start of the Vietnam War.
Is that really that...
You're such a square, man.
Is that really that old? I have no idea. I thought people still said you're a square, no?
I haven't heard it in a while.
Oh my God.
About 30 years. But
I'm really tired. I've actually gone back 30 years in time.
You've regressed.
I don't know what happened. 30 years? That was the 80s. 60 feckin' years.
Which is amazing.
I wasn't even alive.
Considering you're only in your 40s.
Wow. I'm so tired. I've travelled back in time looking for a rest.
That was an amazing moment.
Wow.
It was worth it just for that. Anyway, go on. Have a bash at how old square Nick Hayward is.
I'm going to say he's like 53 looking at him.
58.
Ah, right.
58, right. And then a footballer to finish.
Big square. So you can't tell a square's age anyway.
Recently retired, I think. Peter Cech, did he just announce his retirement?
Yes, he did, didn't he? Yeah, yeah. His old soccer helmet has been hung up.
Yeah.
Peter Cech.
Ex-Chelsea, ex-Arsenal now, I suppose.
Do you know what I'd hate about Peter Cech?
What? Is the helmet thing?
I hated every team he played for. Chelsea and Arsenal. Bloody hell, what a pair. Gooners and hooligans. That's all they were. You know what I mean? And yet he was a very likable character.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A great... I love goalkeepers anyway. I don't know what it is. I feel a great affinity to goalkeepers.
Right.
They're so square, man, compared to the rest of the team. You know what I mean? And then he just his mad helmet and the carry-on of him. And then he was really charitable sort of a lad. Didn't he show up at all the children's hospitals and all that stuff?
Well, a lot of them do that, to be fair.
Yeah.
A lot of them get told.
He used to do it with the helmet in his pocket because they wouldn't recognise him, the kids, when it was just him.
They wouldn't recognise him without his mad helmet. Yeah,
and it was so funny when I got the FIFA game this year, the FIFA 19 game, right?
Yeah.
And it's amazing, like, the way video games are gone. And if you're buying and selling players, right?
Yeah.
They come into the boardroom and you have to negotiate with them. But obviously they only knew him with his helmet. So when you do a negotiation with him, he turns up in a three-piece suit wearing the helmet for his negotiations. It's just one of those brilliant flaws in the game.
Exactly, yeah. And it would be just wonderful if it was replicating true life.
Wouldn't it be brilliant,
if when he went in to tell the Arsenal board that he was leaving that he was in a full suit and still wearing the helmets.
Yeah, what are you doing? Well, Wenger has a bit of a temper, so you never know. Last time I gave him bad news, he hit me over the head with a stapler.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Right, so recently retired Peter Cech and his mad helmet.
I gotta say, he's 45.
He's 37.
I haven't a clue what I'm talking about.
And that's your news on Ireland's official station for 80s, 90s, and more. This is Classic Hits.
Good stuff, thanks, Tara. 6:33. How are you?
Great, fine.
Good weekend.
Fabulous weekend.
Anything exciting? Anything you can confess?
No.
Greece,
just...
Spain, Malta.
No. Funny you should say that. No, I'll do a bit of searching around this morning. No, I won't. No, just a really relaxing, lovely weekend. No fizzies, which was...
Ooh, well done. Yeah. Well done.
No fizzies. So that was...
Are you on a kick at the moment, a health kick?
Yeah, not necessarily a health kick, but just doing without, just seeing how we get on doing without for a little while.
Right.
And you know what?
Very wise.
Weekend one was stunning.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely stunning. The weekend seemed to last three times longer than any other weekend.
A fizzyless weekend?
They definitely last longer, definitely do.
The ability to remember them, is that what makes them seem longer?
Har, har. No, lovely massage, nice walks on the beach, just, you know, it was really good. Lovely.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What are you getting all tick about?
Just
people getting massages and walks on the beach and everything. And what was I doing?
It was him.
What were you doing, actually, now that we think? Did I ask you what you were doing the weekend, other than working last night?
Yeah, that's all I can remember. I was very tired. I didn't get up to all this. I'm just jealous again that when she stays at home, she manages to make a holiday of it. I'm just raving.
My attitude to life, PJ. An attitude adjustment is what you need.
Steve Winwood, Higher Love here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Thank you for that. We gave you an Inner City just ahead of us, and Good Life as you get up and go. song on this Monday, 20th of May. It's almost 18 minutes to 7 o'clock. Thanks for hanging out with us. 087-188-0008 if you want to give us a shout this morning. Phil I Am is heading off on his jollies, PJ.
Oh, very good. Where Phil are you off to, Mr. Phil I Am?
Our Newcastle listener. He's heading to Spain for 4 nights.
Ah, brilliant.
He's actually listening to us at Newcastle Airport at the moment.
Oh, very nice. Well, have a great holiday, horse. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
In case
four
that's
nights
not.
In Spain.
Horse isn't meant as an insult, by the way. I don't know why I stuck that on.
And he says he'll still be listening. Fair play.
Fair play to you, madman.
I'm always
madman.
I wouldn't listen in it. I mean, if I was going on my holidays.
No, I'd be listening.
Getting away.
I'd be
from
straight on to Arriba! Buenos
Dias. Yeah. But you have the advantage, you barely listen. When you're here.
I know, yeah, yeah.
Which gives
in fact,
you
most
added
of the time,
advantage.
When you start talking, all I hear is, Yarima! Buenos dias!
See? See what I mean?
Yes, this is me, sir. Spain.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jim, he is speaking.
Peter Kay, this is my mate Peter Kay, not the comedian in Finglas, was on. He was at Vicker Street last night.
Oh, very good.
And he just wanted to say, he wanted to give you a big up and say you are literally the best non-award winning comedian he's ever seen.
Oh, for God's sake. It's not terrible now.
Good man, Peter.
You're never going away from that. Never going to get away from that.
No, he's suffering. He said his head is hopping.
Well, I'm delighted for you.
And he watched Game of Thrones when he got home. I'm not going to say it. In fairness to him, he doesn't say it.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, please don't be banging out the spoilers now. Yeah.
But it was a great night, and well done to you and everybody involved, he says. And well, you are the best non-award winning comedian he's ever seen.
It's not really. Well, I hope you have the best hangover I've never seen.
Good man, P. Yeah, because we were just talking about that, PJ and Mike and myself earlier on. We were just saying, like, it's actually a day for the three of us, at least, where we're going to actually struggle to avoid spoilers.
Yeah, for the day that's in it,
For the day that's in it, because with it being the last episode of Game of Thrones last night...
I know.
We normally get to see it today. We'd have recorded it and we'll watch it later on.
And it's not realistic for us to stay off social media, really. Not with this job. Because, you know, you got to keep
it's
your...
tough.
You got to stay clued in, man, to what's going on the ground.
Yeah, because as PJ mentioned earlier on, you don't want to be a square.
Nobody wants to be a square, man. No.
Wow.
You got to be up to date. Yeah, see what all those kids are doing in the cool places.
I should have asked Mike when he was in that time, like, whether square is part of normal lingo for in things other than geometry.
Yeah, I don't know anymore. Jeepers. I better stop talking.
That's allowed.
I think actually this is the one time where I'm not talking and work. As a radio show, might actually be helpful.
Might be to your benefit. Right, 087-188-0008 if you do want to give us a shout at any stage, whatever's going on for you. Big day, of course, being Double Money Monday. I think we must be 1,700-ish, are we?
Oh,
quids.
I'll tell you now.
Thereabouts.
It is. It's €1,700, yeah. €1,700 Tasty. Euro on the hit bit today. So you know what to do. Classicits.ie, you can listen to that as many times as you like.
Yeah.
It's well worth doing.
Some good stuff on the show today. Yeah, obviously the start of the breakfast table quiz. So we have another good prize on that. That'll be on the go. But also, we've got a guest on the show today just after 8 o'clock. A lady called Stephanie Preisner.
Yeah, Stephanie Preisner.
I struggle with her surname. Yeah, anyway.
She's the writer of the TV show Can't Cope, Won't Cope. And she's her second book is out. And it's called Can I Say No? So she's going to be giving Jim tips on, you know, how to get through life without hating yourself for letting people down. Well, you're probably not letting them down at all. So that's it. So she's going to hopefully give Jim a bit of life coaching after 8 o'clock.
Yeah, so if you're up for a bit of life coaching, stick around. That'll be a first for this show. Something that might actually be beneficial that you could take away from it.
At all, no, yeah, that's true, yeah. It could be a world's first.
Yeah.
Jeez, I hope she's brought a cake because I tell you something. This is an occasion that needs to be celebrated.
It does. It needs to be marked, to be fair. And who knows what else might happen. PJ there, he's struggling to stay awake at the moment there after his late night entertaining the troops in Vicker Street.
That's it. You know yourself. Yeah. Those blohemians. They do have me up. Yeah.
So anything could happen when he's in that sort of form. And probably will.
Probably will happen, yes. So yeah. I apologise in advance to everyone except you.
Classic Hits.
Yeah, Madonna, Express Yourself here at Classic Hits. I didn't see it, but I believe it was quite an unusual performance at the old Eurovision, was it?
It was a bit mad, now I have to say. I saw her do it. It was like she created anti-music. That's the only way I can describe it. It was like anti-music.
I think we might get a chance for a bit of Eurovision talk later on, but But in the meantime, PJ has found, what is it? Is it a... Does anybody come out of this well?
No.
Do either men or women come out of this well?
No, neither. It's a bad show. And it's a bad show because there's a lot of crossover. So what's happened was they've done a survey. You know, the survey of the day. We love jumping on these.
Yeah.
And this, they took 1,000 men, 1,000 women. And they said, well, they asked them, what's the most annoying thing about living with a man, and what is the most annoying thing about living with a woman? What
right.
domestic things do they do or not do that drives you insane?
Right.
And they've managed to compile a
so
top 10 list.
So this is a sort of battle of the sexes.
What it is essentially.
Did I hear you say top 10 list?
You heard me say top 10 list.
Oh.
And what's more is we have two top 10 lists to get through.
Fantastic.
So the results in from Camp Lady, right? So from in from the women here.
Right, this is what annoys women
about men.
This
is what women absolutely hate about living with men.
In a domestic context,
yeah,
right.
In order, apparently. So, arguing over who's going to pay for dinner. That's in at number 10.
Which side of that is it?
It doesn't say.
As in, no, let me pay. No, I'll pay. Or is it as in, would you ever pay, you stingy sod?
Yeah, unless it's like, no, you... I'll pay, but your man's paying for her own. I don't know, to be honest. It doesn't go into it, but it just says that is sneaking in there, just into the top 10, arguing about paying over dinner, right?
Right.
Not organising money correctly in at number 9.
Yeah.
And that's, to be
I'm
honest,
mad guilty
every
that's
single couple in the world has to argue over money in some...
Yeah.
Surely. Unless you're so loaded you forget what it even looks like.
But I'm just really bad with it.
Yeah, so
fair,
makes,
yeah.
Here that's... we go. In the number 8 now. Leaving your shaving trimmings all over the sink and bath.
Not guilty.
Really, Jim?
I'm a proper rinser.
Are you though, Jim?
I am!
Well, I tell you something, because I know, I even having lived with other lads, I know how irritating
and
that is.
I mean, there's a lot more of me to shave.
Well, there's a lot more of what? Yeah. You know what I mean?
But no, I'm not, okay.
And
I never get into trouble for that.
And it's rare now as well, you'd be living with a woman who'd be shaving her back and chest and all, not the same way. So, number 7, leaving pants on the bedroom floor.
No, not guilty.
I would never do that. Number 6, not hoovering properly. I think we're all guilty of that, to some extent.
I've never been accused of it. But then... You know, it might be one of those things that, like, would never get said to your face.
It's because Jim sleeps in his pants. He gets dressed the night before, so he doesn't have to worry about it. Number 5, not paying bills on time. Yeah, I guess so. Number 4, leaving tissues in your pockets.
Oh, that's... I tell you something.
I don't even understand what this
means. I tell you something, that
What's
is...
What's that got to do with anyone?
I have literally... I tell you something. I have seen Yvonne explode to the point of, like, oh...
Why does she care what's in your pocket?
Because if the tissue disintegrates, you get little bits of white tissue goes all over all the other clothes, and they're a nightmare apparently to try and get out.
Oh, what you mean in the wash?
So, in the wash, yeah.
Oh, I just imagined if she was someone going, have you got a tissue in your pocket? What's it got to do with you?
No, it's when it goes into the wash.
Right.
Paper tissue, and if you've left one in your pocket and then it disintegrates and it goes all over the
all
entire
over
wash.
All over her clothes in the wash.
Everything, whatever's in the wash. And it drives I tell you. You want to see rage.
Really?
You want to see rage. Witness that.
And that's regardless of who's doing the wash. It's about what comes
it's
out.
It's about the fact that somebody left a tissue in their pocket.
Thank God. I don't know what that's all about. Number 3, not washing up properly at all. Number 2, not taking the bins out.
Not taking the bins
not
out.
Not taking the
yeah,
bins
well,
out.
I am guilty of that.
And the number 1 is puddles on the bathroom floor. That's the number 1 apparently.
That was a bit of an anti-climax.
It was a bit of an anti-climax, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Puddles on the bathroom
yeah,
floor.
Yeah, like you dry yourself, you leave puddles all over the place. I don't know, I never do that. I've got a really tidy toweling system. Start at the head, work my way down, onto the bottom.
Plus you have a stand-on towel, don't you?
Yeah, well then I drop the towel I'm on onto the ground a little bit and I stand on it and push it. But, you know, have a little system.
You have a proper system
on
the
go. You have a little system to
keep... I know the one you're talking about because I employ that system in the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you drop it, you
but
stand
at
on
home,
it.
I'd have a little stand-on towel.
Yeah, well, do you see, there you go. People, you have your system.
Exactly. So that's the basis of what we're guilty of in the eyes of women.
Apparently so. Now, let's do the ladies.
Let's turn the tables here.
Right now, your
Listen
numbers up.
Ladies.
There's a lot of crossover here, so not washing up properly. There you go. There's
okay.
that old chestnut again. In at number 9, not hoovering properly. There's that
nice.
Chestnut again. In at number 8, not organising money. There's
wow.
that chestnut again. In at number 7, not taking the bins out. There's that chestnut.
There we go.
In at number 6, putting empty containers back in the fridge. Anyone that does that is a psychopath. Anyone that uses the last drop of milk.
Is that something that men accuse women of?
Yeah.
Wow, because I'm actually kind of guilty of that.
Oh, you're such
a... Not fully, but...
Why do you do... Why does anyone do
that? It's not fully empty.
What's in it? A dribble. Oh, there's a dribble of milk there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be added to the next...
Yeah. Oh. Waste not, want not.
Well, yeah, that's not what you're thinking at all. It just couldn't be arsed. Just be honest about it. It couldn't be arsed. I let someone else do it.
Move on to the next one.
I couldn't be arsed. Basically, yeah, not being arsed is what that should say. Number 5, puddles on the bathroom floor.
Right, so we're all just doing this. We're all moaning about the same thing to each other.
It seems like that when you get into the other list. Not charging your loo, I thought they said, but it's actually not changing the loo roll. Yeah. And that does my head in. Who leaves a piece of cardboard hanging next to a Jax? What sort of animal uses the paper and then leaves an empty piece of cardboard sitting there? Yeah. Looking at the next person,
but then,
who has to go.
But then you're back to the sort of fridge thing for a minute, because you know the people who leave like the equivalent of one sheet wrapped around the cardboard.
So basically Jim is saying people like him do it.
I did not say that.
Essentially, yeah.
I didn't say that.
That's where you were going. Hair in the bath, hair in the plug hole drives me up the wall. So I'm up to my ankles and thinking, what the name of Jesus is going on? And then you pull out this thing and it looks like someone dropped a scarf down the drain.
Yeah.
Disgusting. In at number 2, opening something new in the fridge before the old one was finished. Yeah.
If I did that, would be by mistake.
Oh my God. Jim McCabe is both a man and a woman. Creating problems for everyone around him, it seems. In number 1, leaving clothes on the floor drives me insane. I just can't. I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite a neat and tidy person.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you know,
I'd claim to be similar, to be honest.
You. You know when you go to a hotel with someone a weekend away, and the way you get your bag is the size it fits under your arm. You take out your jocks and your socks and you put them on a chair.
Or in your case, you take out somebody's jocks.
I take out someone's jocks I've nicked on the way to the thing. I put them down, whatever. And then she opens her bag and she opens it up and she pulls this rope and everything just goes and explodes around the room.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's just left everywhere. You're like, does it really have to be like, what? I'm looking for something.
Or do you know the other thing is, you know, the difference, I know you'll have noticed this. You know when you cook, right?
Yeah.
Now when I cook, I'm not a good cook, but I do tend to clean as I go. Not everybody does that is all I'm saying. I have to be careful because she probably listen. But not everybody does that.
Oh, I know.
Sometimes it's like, you know, leave it all till the end and it's like...
Why was anyone you clean as you go, right? And then you leave the kitchen and it's done. The only thing you have to clean is your knife, your fork and your plate. It takes a second to clean a pot. And then you go in and it's like there's been an anti-capitalist protest in the kitchen. Everything's destroyed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's paint bombs.
Everything you own is out on the worktop.
Every time that she cooks, you have to go and call the guards because you think you've been burgled.
Yeah, Ricky Martin, Living La Vida Loca here at Classic Hits. 24 minutes past 7. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Gemma's been on. Gemma Powney wants to wish her mum, Marie, a very happy birthday today. So, Marie, have a fantastic birthday.
Have a great one, Marie. Enjoy it.
Enjoy. And Gemma, thanks for the shout. And also, if you want to give it a shout to have a bash of the hit bit, it is Double Money Monday, €1,700 on the hit bit if you fancy having a play.
Yes, so you can listen to it anytime you want on classichits.ie, of course, and give us a WhatsApp if you want to play on 087-188-0008.
Let loose, Crazy For You here at Classic Hits, waking up happy with PJ and Jim. It's almost 20 to 8, almost time for the hit bit on a Double Money Monday for €1,700. 087-188-0008 if you want to play. Don't give us your guess. Just let us know that you want to play. You need to get on and actually speak your guess, so to speak, to win the prize anyway. So don't give us your guess. Just let us know you want to play. 087-188-0008. All rise. Yeah. I tell you something. For a man who is quite scathing of the Royals, you do like to talk about them a lot.
Well, it's just it gets me every time. You know what I mean? Some stuff gets me every time. Some stuff just creeps up on me.
Yeah.
And knocks me for six. It really does. Because just when you think you've heard the last preposterous nonsense story about the Windsor Law.
Right.
You come across another one. Right?
So, the last time... What was the last thing we had about them? The butler, was it?
What was that? I can't...
When there was an apprentice butler.
Oh, the job!
Well, yeah, I thought it was that. Was that the last thing we heard about the Royals?
Yeah, and they were paying him a pittance. Do you remember I was giving out about it? Because, you had to work in the castle. It was almost like you should be privileged to get to serve these people your food. Feckin' Royals. I swear to God.
But you found one to top it, have you?
Unachieving people. You know, someone actually gave out to me, they go, gee, you swear you thought you were better than them yourself. Well, yeah, I'm better than them. I've had to make my own way in the world. Do you know what I mean? No, that's literally anybody in the world who's had to make their own way is better than the Royals. They haven't had to do anything.
And this story will probably just make things worse.
Well,
for
if you didn't think that they had it hard enough, well, here you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's now been revealed that the Queen, well, you know, life is hard for the old Queenie, and she now, the last thing she should have to be doing is breaking in her own shoes, isn't it? I mean, that would be disgraceful, isn't it? If she had to, like, actually walk in shoes that were made for her.
Yeah. And they might be uncomfortable. Because she probably doesn't get them from Marks and Spencer or whatever.
She's not rocking around in a pair of Sizzlers. Do you know what I mean? She's not banging around in the latest Ugg boots. You know, she's not doing any of that.
So there probably is shoes made for her.
Now, this might say, I mean, and then the best thing is, I'm reading this, right, and the paper tries to make it sound like it's a reasonable thing.
Right.
So they're like, oh, now I know this might sound like it is the absolute pinnacle of privilege, but when you think about it, right, the Queen does spend a lot of time on her feet at events. Guess who else does? Everybody. Everybody has to walk around.
Yeah.
You don't see...
So hang on a second. The nub of this story is, you're saying there is a person who is responsible for breaking in the Queen's shoes.
Their job is to break in her shoes, yeah? That's their job. Breaking in her shoes. Take these uncomfortable, ridiculous leather.
So does it describe how they're breaking them in?
They wear them.
How are they breaking them in?
How are they breaking them in?
I don't know why I did. I don't know where that came from.
No, they have to wear them, yeah. They get sent out on walks and all.
So they had to find somebody with the same foot as the Queen.
Or at least close enough to
My
it.
My God, it's a genuine Cinderella story.
It really is, yeah.
Does the shoe fit?
Good.
Because you could be the breaker-inner of the Queen's shoes.
Does the shoe fit? Yeah, grand, because you're not royalty. We just need you to make sure the shoe's all right and don't get them dirty or we'll smack them over the back of the head with them, probably.
Wow.
So this stylist, Stuart Parvin, right, he was granted, apparently, the Royal Warrant of Appointment to Her Majesty in 2007. What a poxy name for a job that is, for a start. And he was saying that the shoes have to be comfortable immediately. So someone has to be found and made wear them, and that person then has to break them in and keep them in immaculate condition, obviously. And then he says, well, you know what I mean, it is fair enough, because the Queen can never say, I'm uncomfortable and I can't walk anymore.
Well, I think she can.
Yeah, you think she can say whatever she wants.
Yeah.
And then she has the right, he says, she has the absolute right to have someone wear them in. I'm not saying she doesn't have the right. We all have the right to get something to do it. We just all don't pay for it because it's bloody ludicrous. I mean,
why couldn't she waltz around one of the bedrooms or whatever in them before she sets off, you know? Like, she knows in advance.
And you are the Queen. No one cares if you wear runners. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
No one cares what you do. Get a pair of Reeboks and bounce around. Like, if you turn up and you say, look, I'm 93, you know yourself. I don't really fancy this today, being honest with you. So I'm just going to walk around. I'm married to that mad dodgy old fecker. He's liable to say anything. We had to ban him from events 2 years ago. Which is true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just show your human side instead of making another human literally walk a mile in your shoes.
Classic hits. Hip it. It's a bit of a really famous hit. It's a bit, just a bit from a classic hit. But what hit is it?
Hit bit! There you go, it's the classic hit bit. €1,700 is what we have for you because it is Double Money Monday. And the hit bit sounds exactly like this. And that cash is £1,700. So let's go to Karina, who's in Cork this morning. Hiya, Karina.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. How was your weekend, Karina?
Oh, lovely. Short.
Yeah, they do get shorter.
Yeah, that's the trouble with the old weekends.
Did you get up to anything?
Short.
I'm on for the 3-day weekend anyway.
Oh, yeah. There's talk of that, isn't there? They're talking about making a 4-day working week and all.
Yeah.
A bit of a campaign towards it. Well, there's elections
sooner the
coming
better.
Up. Yeah, though, the old Euro elections. First thing out of my mouth. Not that it would matter to us, because Jim managed to talk us into a 6-day week. So, Karina, what do you think it is? We'll try and give you a few quid.
Shout by Lulu.
Shout by Lulu. Oh, Deadly, wow. A real summer song.
So, yeah, there's a good kind of good Eurovision connection there with the old Lulu as well after the weekend that was in it.
Oh, yeah.
So, Lulu and Shout, Mike.
Karina!
Oh, Mike.
Karina! It's wrong! Karina!
That was my only option.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. You want to see how delighted he is with himself as well.
If only everybody else could share in Mike's absolute delight
I'm
at that point.
Well,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome, Mike.
Come on. I even stood up for it.
Yeah.
Karina, have a good day. Take care of yourself.
You too.
Cheers.
See you later, Karina. Right, back to me.
Mike enjoyed that way too much.
He really did. He's still enjoying it way too much.
I don't know if Dee will get any sense of him at all. But anyway,
Dee and Mead, how are you getting on, Dee?
I'm grand. How are you?
Not bad at all. How was your weekend, Dee?
Yeah, it was all right. I didn't do much.
Yeah, good stuff. You took it nice and easy. Did you feel any value in it at all?
No, sat in with the babies. That was
Billy. Oh, that's all right. Yeah.
So it wasn't that easy of a weekend.
No. Obviously, you're pretty flat out.
Dee needs a bit of cheering up.
A bit of cheering up. Yeah. What do you reckon? 1,700 quid, Dee. What do you think it is?
Stay eternal.
God, lads, this hit bit is just going on forever, isn't
I know,
it? I mean, it's never ending. It's just never
I hope
ending.
It ends now.
No, it's like going on forever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Forever and ever, like.
Oh.
Oh my god, I'm too smart for this show.
What? I actually don't know
why.
Are
there lyrics in the song?
No, there's no lyrics in there. It was just a very subtle little thing that I did.
He's dragging, basically
eternal.
Dragged it out.
Eternal. It's like it's eternal.
In today's lesson, we discover what eternal means.
Yeah.
Wow, I tell you something, Dave.
Eternal is the feeling you get when Mike starts cracking these jokes.
Exactly, yeah. Nobody has enjoyed this hit bit more than Mike, is all I'll say, Dee.
He seems to be really enjoying it.
Yeah, he's delirious.
You go and save yourself, Dee, and you go and have a good day. We'll try and talk him down.
See you, Dee. Thanks
a good
a million,
one,
Dee. Mike.
Take care of yourself.
Bye.
That was quite surreal, I have to say.
What did he put in his porridge?
I don't know.
He's actually still loving it.
He's
still giggling away.
He's gone. We've got no sense of him for the day. Yeah. Stephanie Preisner is on the way. Then we're going to chat to her after.
Waking up happy with PJ and Jim, and I've a sneaky suspicion that PJ Gallagher has actually set up this entire chat, this next little piece that we're going to do, right, for my benefit.
Yes.
In the hope that he can bring me out of the downtrodden doormat that I am.
Oh, Jim McCabe.
To embrace a whole new world.
Yeah. So Stephanie Preisner in the house.
Welcome, Stephanie. Welcome.
Thank you so
you
much.
You are going to be my therapist.
Yeah. Okay, great.
We didn't tell you this, obviously.
You didn't know about this, but obviously it's going
to
happen.
I mean, I've done enough therapy to hopefully help, but I'm on my way to my own after this.
We should really explain to people what it's all about. So, because PJ has this ongoing thing about me beating myself up too much, right? And, you know, blaming myself for everything, right?
Yeah.
So your
and
new
agreeing
book,
to everything. Like, the man gets asked to do something and he just, like, I've never seen anyone torment themselves so much. You ask him, will you do this on Friday? Yeah. And then spends from now until the following Friday going, jeez, what a dick. I'm such a, I deserve this. That's what happens. I deserve this punishment for being a moron. I've put myself through. And you've just written a book called
Can't I Say No? Yeah.
So evidently the answer is no for you. You cannot.
No, that's pretty much it. I can't say no.
Yeah, well, I actually, it says in the start of the book, if you find this in a self-help section of a bookshop, you may go quickly and tell the person who owns the bookshop that it's in the wrong section, because I'm not great at it myself. Like,
really?
Yeah, like, I'm getting much better. I have some like tips and tricks that I've developed in order to help myself say no. But yeah, it's and I'm really glad that I'm talking to you about it, because everyone seems to think that it's like just a women's issue, but it's not. Like,
you must be joking.
Oh my god, no.
Yeah.
Jeez, no.
But no, it's chronic. And with me, like, so no was the first thing that I ever said. It was my first word. So then I forgot how to say it for like 26 years. And
so you ended up then, I assume, in all of these situations you really didn't want to be in. Be it family, friends, I don't know, work environments, whatever it is, and
relationships for like years. Just being like, because if you don't,
that is amazing. In fairness, the idea that somebody would walk up and, do you want to go out with me? Yes, okay.
All right, okay. But that, like, I'm not even joking. Happens, like, because if you don't say no ever, then you forget that you can. And so, like, I was in some random city that, you know, Ryanair fly to, that is adjacent to a capital city, in an Irish bar, watching a match that I didn't even know the teams of, eating crisps that were not Tato's, being like, how did I get here? Like, I don't even like this boy. And it was just that I had forgotten through the years that I actually have an opinion and a voice, and I am allowed to say no. And so then I started saying no, and I broke up. But yeah, it's not something that comes easily.
Did you have a breakthrough moment? Was that moment sitting in a bar somewhere in the middle of nowhere?
That was one of the breakthrough moments. I had like my biggest, so that was when I realised I needed to start saying no, but then I had to work out like, how do I start saying no? But I was working as an actor, so I was well used to hearing no.
Yeah.
I had an awful lot of rejection in my life. So I went back and I looked at all of the no's that I had received, and I tried to pick like ways in which I had received no so that I could bring them forward into my own life. So like I would have done a lot of auditions and gotten no's from the casting department. So because it was a department, it made it much easier when I met the casting director the next day face to face, and we could pretend that it hadn't come directly
from
them. So now I have, because I'm a freelancer, I have like the Stephanie Preisner finance department where I chase invoices as myself, but pretending to be somebody else, so that when I meet someone face to face, they probably know it's me, but like we can still, it lubricates the social situation where I'm like, Dave in accounts will be on to you, you know, and that's like totally fine.
Yeah, as long as you don't make a phone call as Dave in accounts. Yeah, yeah.
Hi, how's it going?
So like little things like that.
So in the book, do you go through specific situations? Like the one that DJ is always talking about on the show is, right, it's the wedding invitation.
It's wedding.
Yeah. Right, the invitation to wedding. The wedding
summons
that is going to cost you a whole lot of money.
It's a summons.
Every time it comes up, you get told the one place you can't say no, you have to go, is a wedding.
But they probably don't even want you there, because people are inviting. They invite like 300 people knowing that they can only fit 220, hoping that you will say no, but then you feel, I've been invited, I have to go, I'm obliged.
Yeah.
And then they're freaking out. Like, you only get two slices of turkey because you were meant to get three, but too many people showed up, so they had to, like, divvy out the food. It's horrific.
It is horrific.
But, like, yeah, so I go through individual...
Is there even one example of a classic way to say no to something like that?
To a wedding?
Yeah. Or something similar.
Yeah, so with weddings, I kind of make it a policy. Like, I just don't attend weddings. But I would say to someone, like...
So you can put that out there in advance, even before the invite arrives.
Yeah, I don't go to weddings.
Well, to all of my single friends, I will not be attending a wedding.
Oh, yeah, I've done that. I've told all my mates, I am never going to any event that means anything to you.
Right.
But I can also say to people, like, so I do not go to weddings. I don't like them. I don't enjoy them. I find them really stressful. I'm an introvert. They're awful. If it would mean something to you as my friend, if you really, really, really want me to go, knowing the emotional toll it will take on me, I will do that for
you. Wow.
But you get like
skilled.
One yes in your lifetime, you know? But it is a kind of a chronic problem. And then the book is broken into three parts, which is the yesteryears, which is like all the yeses that I said. The renaissance, which is when I just said no to everything all the time and my life got really small and I was in bed before the news every night and I had no friends and no invitations. And the yesteryears, which is the current period that we are in now, and where I'm learning what to say yes and no to. And kind of the message of the book across the board is that you don't always have to say no, but you always have to feel like you could and it would be respected.
You just feel like you're still letting people down a bit
somewhere.
Oh yeah,
like you, and that's why I don't like saying no to people's faces. So I always kind of say, now can you leave that with me? Because it's like that moment in The Simpsons where you see Ralph's heart break in slow motion. Like when I say no to someone, I feel I have to actually survive that moment of disappointment that flashes across their face.
The gigs I've done because I didn't want to say no to someone. Because someone goes, here, listen,
it's only an hour.
People fool you. What do you do on Thursday? They don't tell you, here, I'm doing this thing, will you do it?
Yeah.
They say, what do you do on Thursday? You're like, no. And then you're in.
There's
no backup plan. And then next thing you're opening a fucking local supermarket.
You see, because that's what I wanted to ask you as well. The other thing is, right, because the other classic thing that it's very difficult to say no to is when somebody lands you with the charity thing.
Policy. So you need to have a policy, like, because if it's a policy, then there's no wiggle room. So you develop a policy where you do 3 to 5 or however many you want charity events in a year, and they're decided at the start of the year, and outside of that you don't have any control over it and you're really sorry. But if they come to you at the start of
because
next year,
don't tell me your department your agency or whatever it is has decided, unfortunately Jim isn't available.
And also Jim should never go into any meeting with his day planner. So we all get off Google calendars, we all go back to writing down, and we never travel into a meeting with our calendar.
Yeah.
What are you doing on Thursday? I don't have my diary with me. Why? What do you need? Let me look at it. text later. So sorry. So sorry.
Well, yeah.
I actually have something crucial on Thursday. Come back to me next year.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing a gig for a blind horse.
If you can, I'm going to get my my copy autographed. But anyway, if you want to get your, Can I Say No is what it's called. One Woman's Battle with a Small World. Stephanie, it's Prisoner, isn't
it? It's Prisoner, like Prisoner. You win a prize.
Yeah, yeah, because I was trying to get it out of PJ, but he can't even speak English.
Well, on my Twitter bio, I actually have written Prize. Dashner, because thank I you. Get asked so often.
Thank you. Yeah. That would be much better. Listen, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for making me stand.
Ever ask you to come in again, you'll say no.
No, I wouldn't be allowed. The team would be like, no, Stephanie, you have to go and do the marketing.
That's the nicest way of her saying she actually had to be here. She was just sent.
Also, Twill.
Had I get the one time I would have said no and not been able to. Yeah.
Well, you didn't even let me sit down. Like, I've had to do this interview standing up. What is this about? Like,
Stephanie Prisoner, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Prince, the most beautiful girl in the world here at Classic Hits, waking up happy with PJ and Jim. It's almost 22 minutes to 9 o'clock. And of course, unless you were, well, under a stone, I suppose, at the weekend, even if you didn't watch it, you'll know that this was on. Yeah, Eurovision.
Now you
are. Eurovision, with Australia and everything in it.
Fair to say, there was a lot of people with it, a lot of people against it, and a lot of people like us who are kind of... but the Eurovision came and went. It has happened. And I would like to say, well done us in Classic Hits for predicting the winner.
Even if we did kind of, you know, steal it from Google.
Jim, well done to us again. We did it. Classic Hits predicted the winner on the run-up. We did predict the winner. It did happen to match the favourites according to the Google searches, but I don't think that's anything got to do with it. Just Jim once again giving credit where it's not due to somebody else.
it was the whole Google prediction thing based on all of the clicks, if you like, about the various Eurovision contestants, and the Netherlands got the most amount of kind of Google views.
This is out there, James.
And lo and behold,
if Sweden will get more than 253 points,
they win.
So or Netherlands or Sweden.
So I remind you, Sweden needs 253 points, and Sweden is getting from the public 93 points. That means that the
I tell you something, that was, I actually saw that bit at the very end, right, when we came in, flicked it on just at the end for the voting bit, right, and that was one of the best pieces of kind of tragicomedy I've ever seen.
Look
on the face of the Swedish guy. It was
sick.
It was just that moment.
Sick
of like,
as a parrot.
You could sense his anticipation he was going to win, and then... You know, because all the in just previous to that, there'd been people getting like, you know, 275 votes, whatever. And what did he get? 93 or something
like that.
And
yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's not my day then.
So that was the winner. This was the actual song. I think we played a little bit of it the other
Duncan
day.
Duncan Lawrence, yeah, that was his name, and this is his song, yeah.
Duncan Lawrence, who we said at the time sounded a bit sort of like as though he should have been an accountant.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah, he doesn't sound like he's gonna win the Eurovision. You need a name like Sheboppa Wappa Lappa Dappa Doo to win the Eurovision, you think, you know? It's gone so mad.
How many plays in the slot? Giving us a little take a lot.
I mean, it's not bad. It's no Hold Me Now.
It's that.
You know what I mean?
No, not a chance. Do you want to talk about the Irish now, or do you want to talk about the Brits now?
Well, I mean,
because let's face it, it all goes downhill rapidly after that.
I hadn't heard the British entry, right? This is right. It for those of you who, like me, haven't heard it.
Take my hand and I'll lead you. Can you understand? You will never be alone. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than you.
That's actually Brexit he's singing about, isn't it? It's bigger than us.
But that was apparently that is the claim coming from England, is they maintain everybody hates them because they want to leave Europe.
That's
so
what
they
saying.
Got no votes.
They say when they were it was conspiracy basically that the world and Europe conspired against them because they're so anti-European with the Brexit thing. The way it's all gone south and the political time bomb that it is has transferred into the music.
Yeah.
And then all of us Euros went, no Britain, no.
You're not getting any votes.
Yes.
Now, normally we would be making a huge deal of this and laughing at them and pointing the finger and chuckling and giving them a really hard time about it, except for the facts that we found out today how Ireland did.
Yes, we managed to do worse than that. So I know we didn't even get into the finals.
When you say worse, you do mean worse.
Oh, I mean worse. I'm
as
talking
worst.
I'm talking about wooden spoon. Ireland's Eurovision entry received the lowest number of votes of all participating countries when you put them together to the semi-finals and the finals. So that's a breakdown of the results, right? And they did. They only published it after Saturday, thankfully. But that shows that Ireland finished in the last position. Last. Yeah,
literally last. Of everybody who entered.
We last.
There 50 odd countries.
Yeah.
We so were the
it's
last.
Officially, ladies and gentlemen, bam, 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 the worst Eurovision entry we've ever had. Yeah. The worst we've ever had.
Nul point.
Yeah, and that's I feel sorry for Sarah McTiernan now. She
I thought it was a grand old tune.
I thought it was a grand old tune. She sang it well and the whole lot, but I don't know what happened. Maybe people were accusing us of being in cohorts with the Brits and got confused again over the whole Brexit thing. I don't know, but that's it. The song of...
We got a drubbing, though.
16 points is what we got from the combined jury and public vote. 16. Yeah. The lowest score after any other country. Yeah.
There's no silver lining to that, really, except at least we're not Madonna. You're here with me. It's like a dream. Because you were saying, you described this earlier. You said that you witnessed this.
I did,
and you described it as anti-music.
Anti-music. Anti-music.
Was it that bad? I didn't see it now.
That's pretty not bad. You know, like a pretty good song of its day. I like it. You'd still move around to it. She slowed it down to the point that it sounded like there was something wrong with her. She was dressed as a half of Jack Sparrow, Mad Pirate. The whole thing was so peculiar. It was just so peculiar. And then she tried to make her point at the end, in fairness to her, with the political... The flags got stuck in the back. And the Israeli flag and the Palestinian flag on two of the dancers were stuck in the back.
Right.
And she knew that wasn't done in rehearsal, so she was doing a sneaky one.
Right.
But your protest falls a little bit on deaf ears, I think, when you're getting paid a fortune by the Israelis to turn up. Let's face it. Millions, probably, to jig around the place. And then you sort of go, stick a few flags in the back. I just want to make sure I upset absolutely everybody. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was like, but it was a mad performance.
So
it was like anti-music. It was the first performance. In fairness, it was worth it for that. I've never seen someone do anti-music before. It was so bad, it was almost like she was doing jazz. It really was. It was almost jazz-like.
So at least Ireland will always have Madonna.
So we'll always have Madonna.
To bail us out.
There you go. So well done, Sarah McTiernan. You were hard done by. Hard luck, Madonna. You absolutely weren't.
The Breakfast Table Quiz.
It's time for the Breakfast Table Quiz. Win the best prize out there is. Try to get the biggest score. Hope the next call gets the ball. It's the Breakfast Table Quiz.
With Julie Kilmartin's Educational Services in Ennis and Limerick. For exam success, it's got to be julies.ie.
So this week it's the chance to win a paintball package for up to 10 people between the ages of 8 and 15. And it's all happening at Extreme Sports Centre in Cork. Packed with action, exhilaration and adrenaline. You can book your own extreme day out, whether it's kids' parties or it's a corporate package or something like that. You'll find it all on their website, all the information you need. ExtremeSportsCork.com.
That's it, and we are going to... Well, it's Monday. God almighty, I'm so confused today. It's unbelievable. Late nights don't suit on Sundays, I can tell you that much. It is Monday, the best day to play, of course, on the Breakfast Table Quiz. And Tim Smith and Ciara Farrell are together and they're going to have a go this morning. Yeah, double header to get us out of the traps today. And they're both in Dublin. How are you, lads? Hello!
Hello!
Oh, there you are. How are you, Tim? I can hear you anyway. Is Ciara with you?
I'm here.
Right.
Oh, good stuff, good stuff.
So is it a speakerphone job? Are you both listening?
It is, we're in the car.
Okay, well, fingers crossed that the old line holds up. Because to be honest with you, it can be tough to understand PJ at the best of times.
Yeah, and with four of us involved, I smell chaos everywhere.
Right. Well, the good news is, no matter what the pair, you'll be top of the leaderboard after this. So here we go. 60 seconds, the very best of luck.
A teacher of what subject would be most likely to refer to algebra? Which rapper began the trend of wearing oversized baggy trousers called hammer pants? According to the proverb, laughter is the best what?
Medicine.
Burritos are a dish from what country?
Mexico.
What boxer bit a chunk of Evander Holyfield's ear during the 1997 boxing match?
Mike Tyson.
Which city is the centre of the Italian fashion industry?
Milan.
A train that runs on a single rail is known as a what?
Monorail.
Which British comedy team had a hit with Always Look on the Bright Side of Life?
Monty Python?
Yeah, Eddie Irvine was a leading figure in what sport?
Formula One.
Which boxer played himself in The Greatest?
Ali.
Yeah, it is. In Only Fools and Horses, what's the name of the block of flats that Rodney and Dell live in?
Peckham.
No, it's Nelson Mandela House. Do identical twins have the same fingerprints?
No.
Yeah, how many stars are on the Union Jack flag?
None.
Yeah, Jamie Oliver is best known for what profession?
Cooking.
Yeah, cooking, yeah. I'll give you that, yeah. That's the same.
Cooking.
Same thing. You're getting that one. I tell you something, for two people on a loudspeaker, you did pretty good sitting there.
Yeah, no, it's a good score to start the week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Holy farts, yeah, that's very good
not
going.
Not bad at all. That's a good old start to the week, I can tell you. Well done, folks.
Thank you very much.
Great stuff. Wherever you're going, just stay safe and make sure you have your seatbelts on, will you?
We have
the
seatbelts on.
Good. Right.
On the way to work.
We'll let you back to us. Right. Tim right. Smith, Ciara Farrell. Well done, folks. Top of the leaderboard with 12. Well done. Soul Asylum's Runaway Train here at Classic Hits. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim on this Monday, 20th of May. It's almost 22 minutes to 10 o'clock. 087-188-0008. You can still get us if you want to give us a shout on the old WhatsApp. And look, to be honest with you, it looks like a half-decent day out there. Tara was talking about maybe highs of up to 17 degrees. So if you can stay, you know, if it's
really?
Dry. Yeah.
Blimey.
So
right?
if it's kind of dry where you are, I know it's a kind of a patchy kind of a thing around the country today. Some parts might get a bit of rain and all that, but I tell you, if it stays dry, it could be a blooming nice day.
Could be a cracker. But for a lot of Game of Thrones fans, they won't be going anywhere today. No, sir, they won't be leaving the house. No, not a bit about it, because today is the first day for a lot of people that, for most people in Ireland, because it's too late at night, but it's out there now. So, the last ever episode of Game of Thrones.
And last ever.
The fans will sit down around Ireland today and see it for the first and last time, the last ever episode. If anyone can make sense of that sentence, it's as confusing as the plot lines for Game of Thrones itself, right?
And it is a challenging day for those of us that haven't seen it yet, obviously, because
trying to avoid the spoilers.
Exactly.
Oh my God, they're
it's
everywhere.
It's tough to do.
There's people just determined to ruin the fun of other people. Like, when you think about it, it's 8 series. We've dedicated essentially 8 years of our lives, right? God knows how many episodes there is. Like, there's 12 episodes over 8 years. They're all about an hour and the rest long. That adds up to, I don't know, like a year of your life or something. I don't know. It's about a year of your life accumulated.
Yeah, just pick one.
And then somebody wants to just, on the last day, try and ruin the entire experience for so many people. I don't know what sort of tosser does that, but there you go.
So we're trying to avoid it.
We're
trying to stay away from all of the social media stuff.
Which is hard because we can't. It's like our job to look at these things. Anyway, it's out there. The last episode is today for so many people. They will sit down.
It's going to be very strange.
And with that comes some problems. If you've been a Game of Thrones fan for 8 years, suddenly there's going to be this empty void, this hole in your life. What? How are you going to feel that enthusiasm when you finally find out what happens? And then what happens if you find out what happens and it's not good enough? You're disappointed. 8 years of your life leads to the ultimate disappointment. And instead of taking that as the life lesson that everything in life leads to disappointment, you can't handle the pressure. Well, fear no more, because believe it or not, there's been a helpline set up for Game of Thrones fans. Yes, there has. Game of Thrones helpline is being launched to help distraught and struggling fans deal with the end of what is the smash hit series. They're trying to, so if you're like not able to cope with the void there, if you're not able to cope with how the story ends, if you think you are let down, or maybe you think it brought you to a high point in your life that'll never ever be matched again, well, they'll try and talk you into, or talk you out of being the sad moron that you are. This is what they'll do. The problem is, it's not free. Oh, no.
Oh, you're joking. They're charging for the helpline.
Of course they are. It's almost like it was a racket or something. That would never happen. So you do it by Skype, right? And it's €50 an hour.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the service is offered online. It's this Bark.com. Some site called Bark.com. They normally do things like find you a dog groomer or a builder or a plumber or something. I've never heard of this site. And now they're saying, don't worry, we got your back. They have counsellors hired who are familiar with the storylines and are fans of Game of Thrones. So they're there and they're ready and they're waiting. So they're the only counsellors you can call and say, listen, the dragon, when he did it, poo on the sea and they didn't put it in a bag or whatever. You know,
yeah, whatever your issue is.
Quite obvious, this isn't a spoiler. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they didn't, although it would be a great plot twist if the dragon did a giant poo on some city somewhere.
And Tyrion was there going, has anybody got a large blag? And nobody puts these things in bags anymore.
Yeah, you know, that'll be the if a dragon did a large poo on Tyrion,
and smothered him.
What a magnificent plot twist that would be. Now we're talking.
And now I, Tyrion, can be made king. Poop. Will be an incredibly daft and brilliant end to the whole thing.
If that did turn out to be a spoiler, what a magnificent spoiler it would be.
Imagine, I'm ringing your counsellor. I can't believe it. The whole thing ended with your man being smothered by poo from a dragon. 8 years of dedicated life to this nonsense.
And then PJ Gallagher went and spoiled and them telling me on the radio.
And then that moron gave away the idea, So there you go. So it's a 50 quid an hour. You can get the counters.
50 quid an hour.
It's absolutely, it's ridiculous. This is like when the boy band split up years ago. Remember Westlife split up and they had to like send up counselling service and take that, all that sort of crack. It's a bit mad. Like, you know, if you're that much of a fan of anything, you've got serious problems. It's nothing to be proud of.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
But there's people who will have, this will be the longest relationship they've ever had.
That's true.
The 8 years they spent with Game of Thrones.
You can imagine the amount of lads out there now. You know those lads that have a beard that only appears from their chin and under the neck beard, lads. You know them lads that wear trilbies sitting at home watching the television. Them lads. You know them.
This is outrageous. I didn't dedicate my life to this to be let down drowning in poo.
They almost always have heavy metal t-shirts as well.
They do, By some heavy metal band you'd never have heard of.
Yeah, exactly.
Like huge hammer. Touring's. You know, you're like, oh, Jesus.
You don't tell me you've never heard of Huge Hammer. You moron. I mean, you wouldn't get it.
Where do you think the Game of Thrones music comes from?
Unbelievable. You think a Huge Hammer wrote it, you absolute tosser. Go back to watching GAA.